The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. As you listen to the sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of his word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. I could hear the noise, but I couldn't make out the sound. As we got closer, the sound became song. It was a concert coming from, of all places, the subway station beneath the ground. We were in Berlin, Germany, and coming from the underground were thousands of young people singing, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." It was that song by U2, one of their greatest hits, a song that resonated with people all over the world, a song of desperation, a song longing for what we know is out there, and yet what is just beyond our reach. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. That song is what our sermon is about today. The longing for what we know that is out there, and yet what is not obtained. The Bible has a word for this. And that word is glory. Glory. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Psalm 24. If you're using the red pew Bible in front of you, you can find this on page 392. Psalm 24, page 392. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your head, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you this morning with a simple request. Father, we pray that you would show us your glory. We pray that we would find in you the thing that we want more than anything, that we may find the King of glory, Jesus Christ. It's in his glorious name we do pray. Amen. For those taking notes this morning, we began with a big idea, and the big idea is this. How to find glory. Glory is what we all want. Glory is a thing every person alive is looking for. So how do we find it? Three words to guide our time. The first word is pursuit. We all try to find glory. That's number one. Every person alive has a pursuit of glory. Our second word is problem. We can't find glory. Number two, our problem is that we can't obtain real glory. And our third word is person. True glory is found only in a person. That's number three. The only way to obtain glory is through the person of Jesus Christ. Our first word is pursuit. This psalm is about glory. Five times we read in this psalm the word glory. Five times there is a desperate search to find glory. So what is that? What is glory? I was on a missions trip to Virginia Beach, and I was talking with another student. And because I was sort of a leader on this trip, the student asked me, "What does that word glory mean?" And I said, well, you know, glory is sort of like the hero in a war. Or glory is sort of like when someone makes the game-winning shot. Glory is to be caught up in something special or powerful, something just beyond the common. And he said, And because he didn't say anything else, I did what young people often do. I just kept talking. And I thought, maybe if I just keep talking, I'm going to find it along the way. And so there I am rambling about all the same types of things, and he cuts me off and says, glory is just a really hard word to define, isn't it? And in that moment, it was obvious neither he nor I really knew what glory is. And that's because glory is always just beyond us. Glory is like right there, and we know that it's there, but it's veiled, and we can't get to it, we can't grasp it, we can't break through to it. We know that it exists. But it's always beyond us. And yet, because we know that it exists, we pursue it with all that we have. Every person alive is striving for that thing that is just out of reach. Let me show you what I'm talking about with three examples, and maybe it'll make more sense. Some look for glory in sports. The World Cup final starts in about 4 hours. And the cheapest ticket I could find was nearly $8,000. And the seats are so high up that it's going to be just about impossible to tell what's happening on the field. And if you want a good ticket, say maybe five rows back right on the center yard line, that ticket was about $80,000. Why are people spending so much money on the game? It's not for entertainment. It's for glory. People want to be a part of perhaps the biggest victory, the biggest celebration on earth. It's a pursuit of glory. Others look for glory in sex. The average college student has 7 different sexual partners before graduation. Why? Because people are looking for an experience that transcends the common. It's the pursuit of a connection, or an intimacy, or a relational high, something of the emotion. It's the pursuit of glory. Still others look for glory in service. Why do so many people join the military? Doesn't pay well? People are mean to you there? People want to harm you? It's dangerous? People join the military to be a part of something bigger than themselves, to be a part of something that truly matters, something that's going to make a difference. It's the pursuit of glory. Every person alive pursues glory. It's hardwired into us. It's what it means to be made in the image of God. It's what it means to be human. A desire for glory. And each person will pursue it no matter the cost. And just think of those examples. The World Cup is going to leave many in debt. And illicit sex is going to cost many reputation and regret. And military service oftentimes costs life or limb. But the costs don't matter, because everyone knows in our soul that finding real glory is worth everything. Look at verse 5. Those who find glory, verse 5, will find blessing and vindication. Everyone knows that blessing is what we want. It's the thing. It's bliss. It's awe. It's wonder. It's amazement. It's blessing. And everyone knows that glory is vindication. When glory is found, every bad thing is going to disappear, and every wrong is going to be righted, and even evil in our lives will be vanquished. Every person knows this. And so every person pursues glory to the best of their ability. And that pursuit is always a problem. That's our second word, problem. The problem of glory is this: our pursuit of glory will never achieve glory. No one who pursues glory will ever achieve it. The problem with glory is this is a thing that we're looking for, and we sort of know that it's out there, but it's always beyond us, and it can't be obtained. We search for it, we're never going to find it, and that's a problem. We're never going to obtain it. And verse 3 tells us why. Look at verse 3. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Verse 3 asks the question, who has ever achieved glory? Who in their pursuit of glory has ever achieved it, ever obtained it? Answer, no one. No one may ascend to the place where God is, the place of glory. Now, there was one man who was close. That's exactly what verse 3 is talking about. The mountain of the Lord is Mount Sinai, and this is Exodus chapter 20. Do you remember that account in Exodus chapter 20? The mountain is on fire. Thick clouds, darkness, lightning, thunder, the ground is trembling. Why? Because God is on the mountain. And Moses knows on the mountain is where there is true glory. And Moses knows that on the mountain is a glory that transcends any earthly experience. And so Moses goes up on the mountain to get glory. He knows on that mountain is a glory that sport, sex, service can never match. So he ascends the mountain. And when he gets to the top, he asks the question, God, can I have access to your glory? And God says, no. No. You can't have access to my glory. Moses went up the mountain. He met with God. He got closer to glory than anyone in history to that point, and yet he never obtained it. And verse 4 tells us why. Only the one with clean hands and a pure heart who does not trust an idol or swear by a false god can obtain glory. Moses was the best of men, a man who pleased God, a man who obeyed God, and God said to him, you can't have my glory because you are unclean and impure. Moses shows us the problem. No one can achieve real glory. We all want glory. That's the cry of Moses. That's the cry of every person alive. I want to obtain glory. I want the thing that's just out of reach. And God says it's out of reach because of you. Because of your sin. Moses shows us that no one can ascend the mountain. No one can obtain his glory. And so God does the most amazing thing. God tells Moses, I will bring my glory down to you. And we call this the temple. The temple is the place where God dwelt. The God of heaven came down to dwell among men in his temple. The temple is where God brought his glory down to earth. Now, if you were a Jew, from time to time, you were required to go to the temple. And that's the experience that verse 7 through 10, I think, is describing. If you were a Jew and you were on your way to Jerusalem to see the temple, As you approach the city, you would see this bright beacon in the sky. And it was the temple. The temple was lifted high on the mountain. And the temple, although made of wood and stone, was covered in pure gold. And high in the sky, the temple would glisten and shimmer, visible for miles. And as one ascended the mountain, they would eventually pass through these massive gates called beautiful. Called beautiful because they were. The gates were covered in pure gold with designs of flowers and palm trees. And as you went through the gate, as you went through that portal into the temple grounds, you would just sort of lift your head as you would take in all of these sights. That's verse 8. Lift up your heads. Because everywhere you looked, there was something to marvel at. Over here was the outer court, and it'd be full of worshipers singing and praying. And then over in this direction would be the laver, a basin of water so large that it could be a swimming pool. And then over in the other direction would be the place where the sacrifices were being made. And as the animals were burned, the smoke was so thick. There's like walking through a cloud. And then just beyond all of that was the temple itself, and there are massive doors, some 30 feet high, covered in gold, and you knew that inside was God. And as you saw all of this, there was only one question. Verse 8, verse 10, who is this King of Glory? Who is this King of Glory? Because all of this is for him. Who is this King of Glory? Mighty in battle, verse 8, strong over all. Verse 10, there's no one like him. This God is more than anyone. This God is better than everything. This is the God of Glory. That's what the temple is all about. The temple shouted in visual form, the Lord is glory, and this glory is for you. And yet the problem remained. The problem remained. You see, only one man and only once a year could enter into the glory of God. Only the high priest. And only on the Day of Atonement entered into the place where God resided. Only one man, only for a moment, entered into God's glory. And God said, that's a problem. There has to be a way for anyone to obtain his glory. It's still a problem. And the psalm hints that God is about to do something. Look at verse 6, such as the generations of those who seek to him. The psalm hints that many are going to seek God, and the psalm assumes that many are going to obtain his glory. So how is that going to happen? How are many going to come into the presence of his glory with unclean hands and impure hearts? That brings us to our third word. Our third word is person. Real glory is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. Not all that long ago, we studied the book of John. And this is how the Gospel of John starts. This is John 1:14. We have seen his glory. So what is that? What's the glory that John's seen? That was our scripture reading moments ago. John is talking about ascending the mountain. He's talking about ascending the mountain and finding the glory of God. John ascends the mountain with Peter and James. And on the mountain there before them, Jesus' clothes become dazzling white. And his face begins to shine like the sun. And they see it. They see the glory of God. They see what Moses asked for. They see what every person wants. The thing that was just out of reach for so many, and they find it. They find the glory of Christ. Then they come down the mountain. And Jesus returns to his normal form. And Jesus says, no one is to know about this, at least not for a little while. And then shortly thereafter, Jesus is crucified. And the cross is not an instrument of glory, it's an instrument of shame. On the cross, Jesus is hurt and harassed, mocked and maligned. And it all looks to be for naught. But then on the third day, Jesus is raised from the dead in glory. And then he ascends to the right hand of God the Father, from where even now he is ruling and reigning in glory. And we long for the day in which he will come again on a white horse with a flaming sword coming out of his mouth, and everywhere and everyone will see his glory. And in the life to come, Jesus will change us so that we will shine like the sun. We will have his glory. Jesus Christ is the glory that everyone is longing for. In Jesus Christ, we will see a glory that is beyond anything, anywhere. And his glory will be so great that it will even transform us into his glory. That's the glory we're seeking. And it's found in him and him alone. Now go back and look at verses 1 and 2 with me. And verses 1 and 2 have caused no debate among some biblical scholars. And verses 1 and 2 have caused some to even wonder, is this even original to David's psalm? Some have wondered if maybe this is actually from another psalm. Maybe David just added this in later. Look at these with me again. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. He founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. That doesn't seem to fit. The whole psalm is about the glory of God. But before we get to any of that, David's talking about how God made the world and how God owns the world. And some scholars ask, should this really be here? If the whole thing is about finding the glory of God, why would this talk about creation? Imagine again that you are a Jew on the way to the temple. And you know that that temple is for you. And you know that God dwells there. And you know that God's glory is in Jerusalem and Jerusalem alone. And because that's your nation, how easy would it be to think, God's glory is for me and only me. Now, we don't have to imagine that very hard. How many times are we told that Christianity is a Western religion? For the West. For us alone. Or maybe right from our own pew, we think, God is in this church. He's in this denomination. Glory is for us alone. I think verses 1 and 2 are there because they remind us that God has a concern for the entire world. That everyone, everywhere can have access to the glory of God if they but turn to Jesus Christ. All year long, we've been talking about who's your one? Who is the one person you're going to tell about Jesus Christ? Who's the one person that you can tell that Jesus loves you and died for you, and that in Him you can have what you've always wanted, that in Him and in Him alone you can have access to the glory of God? And for so many of us, that feels so daunting. How can I tell anyone about Jesus Christ? That just seems so forward and so difficult. As you think about the person you're going to share Jesus Christ with, if that seems daunting, just know that they are already seeking Him. They're already seeking Him. Every person alive is seeking glory. And every person is looking for glory somewhere. And some are looking for glory in kids or careers. Others in success or sex. Still others in happiness or in health. Everyone is seeking a glory. And we can tell them where real glory is found. We can tell them the glory you are looking for, the glory your heart is thirsty for, is Jesus Christ. He is glory. And He, verse 8, is more than anyone else or anything else. And verse 10, He is better than anyone or anything else. And you can have Him. You can have His glory. And all you have to do to get it is to lay down your own pursuit of glory and ask that we may have His glory. And if you do that, if you lay down your pursuit of glory in all of these other places and beg God that you could have His glory, you will get it. 21 years ago, thousands of people were shouting in unison, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." Far more than a song, it was a search. Thousands searching. "I know it's out there, but I just can't get it." But you can have it. And it's found in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for Jesus Christ. And we thank You that He is the King of glory. Father, in Him we see what glory is. In Him we see Your strength, that You are the one who can do all things. In Him we see Your love, that You are for us. In Him we see Your holiness, that You are good and only good. Father, in Him we see Your glory. And Father, we long for the day in which we see Your glory not through the eyes of faith, but through physical eyes. We long for the day in which we will see You in such a way that Your glory will transform even us to shine like the sun. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.